This is Conor Lennon, UN News. Foreign direct investment, which is usually referred to as FDI, is an accelerator of the global economy because it gives countries access to external capital, technology, market access, and taxable income. However, according to a new report by the UN Conference on Trade and Development, or UNCTAD, it has fallen more than 40% in the first half of 2018 compared with the same period last year, with developing economies escaping the worst of the downturn. Overall, the global financial picture is gloomy, James Chan, UNCTAD Director of Investment and Enterprise, told Daniel Johnson in Geneva.
Foreign direct investment is particularly important for developing countries because it brings in a package of assets, not only the capital, but also related technology and market access, employment and tax contributions. Of course, it also has some implications because the foreign investors need to make profit and there's also remittance of the profits.
You mean not all the profit stays in the country, it goes back to the country that invested in it in the first place?
Exactly.
So tell me, what is the main message of the UNCTAD report on where we are with foreign direct investment and future investment?
The first message is that global foreign direct investment in the first half of 2018 declined, and declined significantly, declined by 41%. And this is against the backdrop of 23% of decline of 2017. So
it was already on the way down, and that's linked, you think, mainly to the decision in the United States to make tax reform so that has encouraged companies to bring money back to the states, profits back.
It's the major factor because due to the U.S. tax reforms, the multinational companies from the United States retained investment earnings in quite a number of countries back home to the United States. And that affected the overall inflows numbers in those countries.
So let's just do it specifically. For example, Switzerland saw quite a big drop, 30-odd billion in foreign direct investment. So how is that going to impact on Switzerland, for example?
For some countries like Switzerland and like the Netherlands or the Ireland, they are mainly affected this round. It is not major impact because investment funds from the U.S. or the corporate earnings that are parked in those countries, they are not meant at this stage to reinvest it in those countries. But they can be used for financing of investment in other countries by the U.S. firms. There are also reinvest earnings that are stayed in other developing countries. And for that, that may have some kind of impact because this is, after all, the investable capitals that can be used for the expansion of existing operations in host countries or for investing in new investment projects.
So let's just talk about developing countries then. If you say that foreign direct investment is down in developed, richer nations, for example, but it's on the slide perhaps or even stable in Africa, how is that going to affect these countries on the ground? And I see that Western Africa, you have a particular concern for these commodity-rich countries, which have seen a 17% fall.
Yeah, you are right that the current FDI decline was mainly due to the decline in developed economies. For developed countries as a whole, FDI inflows for the first half of this year declined by 69%. And for developing economies as a whole, the decline was much lower, so it's about 4%. And for that, I would say it affects developing countries, particularly for small economies. For Africa, it remained at a similar level. I think the decline is less than 3%. For Asia, it's about 6%, Latin America, 7% of decline. Having said that, for developing Asia, we can see there's still a large increase of investment in South Asia and Southeast Asia. So these are the areas we see a kind of large increase of investment in the manufacturing sector.
Is that linked to the investment in China? Because China's the leading foreign direct investment recipient, isn't it, after the United States?
Yes, it links to China in a sense that China's outward investment into those regions increased. Vietnam, Thailand, Myanmar, Cambodia, Laos, Bangladesh, and there's partly because of China's outward investment into those countries, but also partly because some of the labor-intensive, export-oriented foreign investment that was in China moved away to those countries.
Okay, so I'm just trying to get a picture of whether this is a good or a bad thing, that a lot of money was taken back to the States by big multinationals. Mm-hmm. How is it going to affect people on the ground? What should countries or continents do to boost the money coming in so that they can grow their economies?
The repatriation of the corporate earnings, as I said, is mainly in quite a number of developed countries and some developing countries in the Caribbean. But for countries like Africa, and this phenomenon doesn't affect Africa very much. And for Africa today, they attract a lot of investment from other countries like Europe, like emerging markets, the developing countries, advanced developing countries like China, South Africa, Brazil, India, and even Turkey, Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia. But having said that, as you rightly pointed out, there is a dire need for investment, for financing of SDGs, for financing of sustainable development in Africa. And that is really a challenge for Africa. Aside from mobilizing domestic resources, aside from mobilizing public investment, they still need to mobilize private investment, mobilize foreign investment, because as I said, they bring a different type of assets and factors contributing to sustainable development. And that part is not happening in a desirable way. And this gap for financing of sustainable development goals remains very large.
What is the gap? Have you quantified it?
Yes, the gap for developing countries as a whole is $2.5 trillion annually. And this is the estimate and the calculation UNCTAD made. And this is widely used. So if you look at the numbers worldwide, they all say $2.5 trillion of gap.
They need it every single year. And how much are they getting then?
And for the time being, we see for the existing capital flows, we calculate all the external financial flows plus the domestic investment is about $1.9 trillion. So we miss
1.9
on average, and we miss $2.5 trillion.
Okay, let's finally move on to so-called greenfield investment. This is an indicator for future economic development. And there, the signs are a little bit more positive, aren't they? There's been more greenfield investment, but perhaps you might say from a lower starting point.
Indeed, the green investment increased by 42%. And we need to explain what is the greenfield investment. It means the new investment, the investment productive facilities to be established in the country instead of acquisition of the existing firms or existing productive facilities. The data we have for this is more of announced deals, meaning contractual value. It doesn't mean actual flows. And the actual flows will get into the country as time goes by, investment goes in installment, or that some of them may not eventually realize for different reasons. But this is an indicator of the future investment flows. And it's mainly flowing to developing countries. And for developed economies as a whole, the greenfield investment increased only by 5%. And the rest are all to developing countries. And for developing countries, it's mainly in South and Southeast Asia that we have seen. And some modest increase in Africa and Latin America, but mainly in Asia. And in terms of sectors, it is not in the primary sector. Greenfield investment in contractual value declined in primary sector, meaning mining, agriculture related. And then for the secondary industry, meaning manufacturing. And in tertiary industry, meaning services. So it's mainly increased in services and also some increase in manufacturing.
In the long term, what does this report tell us? Where are we now in relation to where we were at the time of the global financial meltdown 10 years ago?
First, global FDI has been at a very low level compared with the pre-global financial crisis average. It remains at a level lower than that, number one. Number two, for the prospects, we see for the whole year 2018, global FDI won't recover very much, won't be at a high level. And even though we see the greenfield investment increased significantly, but in absolute value, greenfield investment is at a lower level historically. And it's also partly because last year greenfield investment declined. So in that sense, for this year, at most, there will be a very modest increase of global FDI flows, but there's a likelihood that the investment is at a lower level than 2017. So the overall picture remains gloomy.